Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed by the participants in this cave are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Okay, welcome back. This is part two of our holiday decade retrospective. More like holiday decades sitting around bullshitting about the last 10 years or so. The last segment, we covered 2000 and 2004 in a rambling, slipshod manner, and now we're going to cover 2005 through 2009 in a rambling, slipshod manner. So,
wow, sign me up.
Enjoy! I should mention we recorded this in one session, so
we're really tired.
If we sound a little punchy, perhaps a little drunk, that's why. Okay, 2005. This was the year I came back to Anime News Network. After working at Anime Insider, I moved out to California, where I remain and probably will be until the end of my life. So it was kind of a big year for me. This was the year Anime News Network finally had some money to start hiring people. You know, we started taking off a bit in this year.
Yeah, this was the year Chris actually finally incorporated.
Yeah,
exactly. As an actual company.
As a real company.
At this time, the encyclopedia, Dan's encyclopedia, was already pretty well established and really kind of getting pretty filled out as far as really becoming a great source of data.
Indeed. So, drove most of our traffic.
Still does.
Huge part of our traffic. So in 2005, Navarre bought Funimation.
Yeah, this probably a good portent of things to come because Navarre at the time was really, really huge. Their main bread and butter was what's known as mass market DVD and mass market media. They were the ones that did like the shitty $10 crossword puzzle games in the CD jewel cases that you would find in a big rotating rack at Office Depot. They're ones that, you know, did workout videotapes that you'd see, you know, in the checkout lane at Walmart. They were that kind of company, and their main label was BCI Eclipse, and they were huge.
Which doesn't exist anymore, right?
No, they shut down BCI Eclipse. Now Funimation is their, if not their sole, definitely their biggest bread and butter. Mm-hmm. And the company, they're publicly traded, so you can find this out for yourself, is actually now worth substantially less, maybe as little as half, as what they paid for Funimation in cash.
Wow. The only BCI releases I have are He-Man box sets that they put out.
that was pretty much all that anyone our age would be interested in.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. I mean, frankly, having access to that big infrastructure probably really helped stabilize Funimation and definitely helped keep them going through the bad years, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was also, I mean, 2005 was kind of the beginning of the end in terms of the bubble bursting.
Right.
We started seeing some signs that things were not going quite so well.
I have very vivid memories of this era of sitting around with my buddies Kevin Sopko and Peter Tatara. They were still at CPM at this time, and they were abusing their account with VideoScan. Mm-hmm. So they could see what everyone else was selling and how many units they were moving. We would just sit around just in awe at how little other people were moving, how little product was going.
Yeah, I mean, things were just, I mean, this was sort of when it was like, okay, stop licensing all this shit. It's not moving. It's not selling. Like, ADV must have seen the writing on the wall, or at least started to see the writing on the wall at this point.
Well, you remember what happened with Princess Tutu?
Yeah, but tell the story.
Well, Princess Tutu, they licensed it, and, you know, in retrospect, the idea of selling to wholesalers something called Princess Tutu seems pretty daunting. They released it with kind of dark, craggy, foresty-looking artwork.
Yeah, it was very clearly like, hey, Hot Topic kids, you like Tim Burton. You'll like this, yeah.
And I saw the video scan numbers. It sold less than 100 units. It sold, like, in the 50s. So it was such a disaster. They stopped the release to retool it. And they then proceeded with the rest of the singles, and none of them ever did well. And finally, you see, like, the brick they ended up releasing of it, they ended up going with, like, a kind of slightly emo-looking, slightly sexy image that is in no way representative of the show.
Right.
It's not even the main character on the cover. And yeah, that show was just an unmitigated disaster for them, which is sad because it's a really good show.
It is good. I mean, I never got through the whole thing, but I mean, I heard nothing but good things about it. I saw, like, the first couple and thought, oh, this is all right, and then just never got around to it.
Once I put it off until I could get that brick for cheap, and once I did, I managed to get that brick for $30 at a con.
Nice.
And I marathoned the whole thing, start to end, and it's fantastic. I would do it again.
Right. So 05 was kind of the year of the last kind of big hits we had, Death Note and Full Metal Alchemist. Those were the sort of the two big shows that year. I liked them both, but Full Metal Alchemist has a special place in my heart. That was the first, that DVD has my name on it, so I'm kind of like, the first DVD, individual single release has my name on it, so it's... It's special to me, but you know that those were that was kind of the last year we had big hits that crossed over, that had some level of mainstream success. Full Metal Alchemist did very well on Cartoon Network,
right? And yeah, that was wow. You're right. That was it. I never even put that period on that sentence before. But yeah, there hasn't really been anything since then.
Not since then. No, not at all.
Unless you count Ponyo.
Yeah, it's sort of the last time we had some big hits. So, you know, 2005, things were still seeming a little rosy. They didn't, you know, things were not dire yet. They were just...
Right, people were licensing things. Stuff like Gankutsuo was getting licensed.
Yeah, it was just the clouds were gathering on the horizon. That was also the year Final Fantasy Advent Children came out, which was big. It continues to be big. I think it's still, like, the top-selling anime DVD month to month. So that was a huge deal.
Yeah, but the other big sign that I think things were starting to really get a little shaky was this is when prices started going down really fast.
Yep.
Like when, if you had just waited a few years to buy a bunch of these things, and as I had, you could suddenly get these blowout packs, mostly through Right Stuff, and you could pay, you know, get a whole series for $50 easily. And I just remember thinking at the time, wow, this is really great. this cannot be good, because if the product is worth this little, that means they're not getting any money at all.
And this was also when we started seeing a lot of complete series box sets. And this was the time that ADV was stripping the extras out of their releases.
Pushing the thin packs, which yep. I can't really complain that much. But yeah, I'm going through our news postings here, and I'm seeing just nothing but announcements of new repacks and new box sets and just...
Right, the only company that's really moving aggressively on licenses is Funimation, and they're picking up stuff like Basilisk and Speedgrapher, you know, stuff like that. Anime Expo that year had Peach Pit, the popular mangaka.
Yeah, this was actually around the time that ADV started to slow down drastically in licensing new things. Like, their big release of the year was Robotech.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I think, you know, they were obviously in financial trouble at the time, and this is around the time they started courting Sojitz, and
we saw what happened with that.
Boy, all of these things are just, this is just turning into a gigantic tale of things that seemed like a great idea at the time, and oh my god,
yeah,
were they ever not?
Yeah, it really did not work out. Also, this was kind of the tail end of Cartoon Network's involvement in anime. Full Metal Alchemist was, again, sort of their last hit. They had Bleach, I think, did okay for them. But this was the year that they tried that IGPX thing.
Oh, wow, what a disaster that was.
Yeah, it really did not turn out for them. For people who don't remember it, it was a co-production that Cartoon Network basically produced. And they hired a bunch of B-list celebrities to do the voices, like Haley Joel Osment, Michelle Rodriguez, you know, those kind of people. And
Haley Joel Osment after he was already in his 20s.
Yeah, well, I mean, his only work seems to be Kingdom Hearts games and the occasional other voiceover. Yeah, I don't know. Oddly enough, Anime News Network started doing really well this year, and
yeah,
the industry itself started declining. And I think what we're seeing is a lot of just desperate moves. People just saying, okay, how the hell can we start making some money?
Yeah, I think everyone's realizing how much money they spent. I mean, when one series, and you know, they're licensing 30, 40, 50 shows a year, some of these companies, mm-hmm. and some of them easily blowing a million plus on, some of them up to 3 or 4 million.
And the licensing costs were still through the roof at this point. The Japanese still had totally unrealistic expectations. So
yes. This is when things are getting bad, and why don't we go through the release list?
Well, I want to point this out, and you can comment on this. The
sure.
The major CPM release, Negadon, the monster from Mars.
CPM actually tried to four-wall a theatrical release with us at Imagination.
Uh-huh.
And they had a big premiere party, and Peter Tatara, who, great guy, but at the time, not really the best stage presence in the world, gave this big, long, rambling speech about what a big thing this was. Two people showed up.
Wow.
And then we found out, and then later we caught them hiding in the bathroom, because the screening was free. Mm-hmm. We caught them hiding in the bathroom trying to sneak into the following show.
Oh, man. That's really bad. That's really sad. That is a sad tale.
I just felt so bad for them at that point. I knew the writing on the wall. There was nothing left.
Yeah.
There was nothing left at that company.
Okay, 2005 releases. Well, the first thing I'm seeing is Rumiko Takahashi Anthology, which has been discussed on this show.
Yes.
As, like, the lowest selling thing ever. Incidentally, came out the same day as Samurai Champloo Volume 1.
Oh, wait, you forgot the other big CPM release from this year, Time Bokan.
I've never seen that. I don't even know what it's about.
It's a Wacky Races style reunion of all the old shitty Tatsunoko shows from the 70s that no one here has seen.
Lovely. Like we said, Full Metal Alchemist had its DVD debut this year.
Oh, this was the Standalone Complex era.
Oh, yeah. You know, that I never really got into that show, but
I really like it. I don't love it, but I really like it.
I knew it was very high quality, but I don't know. For whatever reason, it didn't grab me.
It's hard to follow, and the fan subs were incomprehensible.
The mass naked child events.
Yes, that was the infamous mass naked child events incident. The show is so complicated, and if you're not a native Japanese speaker, you don't really have a prayer in figuring out what's going on. So I just said, fuck it, I'm waiting for the official release, because then at least they'll have a script to go off of.
Jenny-on also released Koikaze with a sheet of stickers that said things like, brother, no.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it came with stickers, and it had, like, the girl, like, wincing, and a little word bubble that said, like, oh, brother, you're so bad, like...
I guess if you're gonna...
Gonna go for it, may as well fucking buy the farm, you know?
Yeah, might as well own it.
Oop, this was the year of Toei's attempt to get into the market with Air Master and Slam Dunk.
Slam Dunk.
And that other thing.
Yeah, God, those discs were a disaster. They pumped them out cheap and got exactly what they paid for. Right. And those were also selling in the double digits. I saw the video scan on those.
Yeah, I think Slam Dunk moved like less than 50 copies, I think.
So that means this must also been around the time that Bandai Visual USA was rearing its ugly head.
Yeah, I remember actually I had just moved out here. And they had their big press release, their Aoniyama's press conference, at which I was the only press, because it was held in the Beverly Hilton. And so, you know, I went to that, and it was me and a whole bunch of Japanese executives and the two guys from Elastic Media who were doing their dubbing. And that was it. It was a nice hotel.
Terrible idea that was.
Appleseed came out this year, the movie, which I didn't like.
Yeah, well, no. I don't know anyone that loves Appleseed.
Well, those movies...
Some people were taken in by the pretty visuals.
Well, yeah, but the animation was shit. I mean, it was very, like, we made this in Poser.
Right.
It just didn't look good. I guess people just, like, maybe aren't discerning enough when it comes to CG animation, but it wasn't good.
Now, here is a full... certain sign of Jenny-on's last stand. This is the year that they started releasing Fighting Spirit. And literally, I picked up the box of that because I knew they were closing the next month that came out, when the final box came out.
Holy shit. Bandai released Hoop Days.
Oh, Meteor Blasters came out with Blam. Oh, they call it Blame. It's supposed to be Blam, if you look at the katakana.
Well, I mean, but the manga, it's on the cover of the Japanese edition of the manga, it's B-L-A-M-E.
Right. It's supposed to be pronounced Blam. That's what the Japanese was trying to do there.
I never knew that.
Yeah. But at any rate, that DVD was kind of a disaster, because already the show was an incomprehensible mess. It was just trying too hard to be artsy and failing.
Yeah.
But they tried to do the same thing with the DVD menu. And so you stick in this disc and you literally cannot figure out how to work the damn menu.
Oh, God. First volume of one of the, to this day, one of the absolute best shows I've ever seen. All-time favorite, Genshi Ken. Excellent.
I love hate that show.
Well. You suck.
No, you suck.
No, you suck. As you can tell, we are losing it. Also out this year, Funimation decided to release Kodocha.
A decision they surely did regret.
Yeah, that did not do well for them. They never finished it.
Well, they finished the first season, the first series. There's two series, and they just didn't bother with the second one.
Yeah, well, what's the point?
Yeah, and the second one, actually, I've seen the whole thing. It gets a lot weaker. So there was if the first season didn't move, there was no way in the hell the second one would have moved.
I think I only ever saw the first season. I never even got around to the second half.
Disney released your favorite, Pompoko.
Mm-hmm. And a bunch of Ghibli stuff this year, actually.
Yeah. Nausicaa. This was kind of the third wave of that stuff.
Yeah, My Neighbors the Yamadas came out.
I love that movie.
Oh, I do, too.
It does not get enough love.
I do, too, but I don't think anyone bought it.
Holy shit, I completely forgot about this. Hammer Boy.
That's Korean, right?
Yeah, it's really janky-looking Korean anime, and they John promised the world to the Korean licensor, and no one was interested.
ADV tried its hand with the Fukons.
Oh, God. I still remember being kind of offended by our site skin for that.
It was hideous. They designed that shit. That was not us. They designed that shit.
Still our site.
It is, but I will not. I mean, we don't have to take credit for the graphic design on that skin. They really wanted to push that, but who knows? It didn't work out for them.
Yeah. Oh, here's the dub only release of Zatch Bell.
Yeah, they tried with that. They tried. It wound up on TV for a little while.
But this was yeah. You could tell by just scrolling through these releases. This is definitely the end times.
Indeed. Okay. Best Picture 2005. Crash.
Oh my. Fucking God.
I've mentioned how I feel about that movie on this podcast before, so I will not bring it up again. But there was an obvious winner that year.
Yes. Provided you're not homophobic.
Right. Okay, 2006.
Woo-hoo, this is the year the laughter died.
Yeah, this was really when things started getting bad.
And really the final nail in the coffin for everybody, and I'm not even sure we reported on this much at the time, was Musicland filing for bankruptcy.
Right, and that was...
That just sent everyone into a death spiral.
Yep, it was a huge, just cut the legs out from underneath the entire industry.
Because at one point, they were selling almost a third of anime that was coming out.
Right, we've mentioned that before.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal. And so 2006, I mean, it was clear things were getting bad, but nobody could see the bottom yet.
Well, from your point of view, you couldn't see the outside. I was getting direct quotes from companies going, yeah, we went to Tokyo Anime Fest this year. Every meeting, we were like, the bubble has burst. It's over. We've got to cut these license fees or we're going to die.
Right.
Yeah, things were bad. And at the same time, this is because of all the bankruptcies in the retail space. This is when you started all this like Bandai stuff started showing up in big lots.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to the screaming and gnashing of teeth, I was able to get a bunch of free programming from Jenny on Imagination.
Right, yeah, you were still at Imagination at this point. What was
I got to license all? I got all of the best stuff from Genion for free.
What was going on at that company? Because were things starting to swirl at that place?
Yeah, things were not going well there. I think that was the year. I might be off a little on this, but this was the year we fired our initial CEO because he clearly had no interest in television and was constantly trying to sell out the company to Harvey Weinstein so he could fulfill his dream of making movies.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so we were dabbling in theatrical and home video at this point, and we released that one film, Journey from the Fall, which is still a great film, but we're a little startup TV network. We had no business being in the theatrical game at all. And I got a firsthand account of just how tough it is to do a real theatrical release, and it almost killed us.
And that movie...
It was a theatrical release, good theatrical release, and we made a good amount of money, but it almost killed us.
What was that movie?
That was an American-produced story of Vietnamese boat people.
It was called Before the Fall?
Journey from the Fall.
Journey from the Fall, sorry.
Yeah, it's still a great movie. Netflix it if you can. But I met a lot of great people doing that. And so I don't regret being a part of that, but we as a company had no business being in the theatrical game at all.
2006, AX was at Anaheim, pretty sure.
Right, that was the last year at Anaheim.
Last year at Anaheim.
Like, Sniff.
Yeah, I miss Anaheim. They're doing fine in LA now, but the next year will prove to be disastrous for them. But
right.
Yes, so Witchblade was Funimation's big thing this year. Probably a smart license.
Oh, no doubt.
This was the year we launched our ill-fated ANN blogs, which are still there, but we don't use them for anything.
Right. This is the year that ADV, flush with Sojit's money, went on this giant licensing spree of mostly stuff that really should never have been released. And then Funimation would turn around, and I'm sure they got all that stuff for dirt cheap, but still.
Yeah, I mean, this... 2006 was kind of sort of free fall, but it hadn't quite hit the ground yet.
Right. From the consumer point of view, it seemed everything was okay still.
With the exception of the fact that your local Suncoast is closed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really the only real sign of trouble from the ground. If you knew, if you knew anybody in the industry, you were hearing horror stories.
Right.
You know, people were starting to get let go at this time. Actually, I think this is the year that CPM laid off everyone.
It must have been, yeah.
It was kind of an end result of the Musicland thing, but what the major thing that happened was that their bank, they had a big loan from Fleet Bank. Fleet Bank got bought by Bank of America. Bank of America reviewed their loan and decided to recall the loan, which I didn't know banks could do, but they can apparently.
Whoa, I didn't even need that. That's scary.
Yeah, and so, you know, scrambling for money, basically they spent some time in court trying to stave off Chapter 11, and they finally managed to, because, you know, a lot of their contracts, if you look at an anime contract, licensing contract, if you file bankruptcy in any form, whether it's Chapter 7 or Chapter 11 or whatnot, your license expires like that. It's over.
Right.
So there is no restructuring if you hit Chapter 11, if you're a licensor, or a licensee, rather. You're just, that's over. So they spent a long time not trying to avoid bankruptcy and paying off creditors. But yeah, 2006, that was the year it all ended.
I should point out, 2006 was the year of the Lolicon Wars.
Jesus.
If you remember that, and I'm sure you do, that was the first round. It wasn't we weren't quite at Nymphet yet, but that summer we had that was the first sort of big blow up of the whole Lolicon thing, because I said something bad about it in Answer Man, and the fans all lost their fucking minds, as they are wont to do whenever I talk about Lolicon.
Defensiveness.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, I mean, it's these last couple of years, I mean, it's all decline and it's all, you know, death and rebirth, basically. I mean, ADV's still licensing stuff at this point. They picked up Chevalier d'Aeon and...
This is the Sojitz era. This is, you know, their big licensing spree that they got flush with the new money.
Right, and they picked up powerhouse blockbusters like Best Student Council and Nerima Daikon Brothers. Which I'm sure the voice acting community was very happy they licensed Nerima Daikon Brothers, but
no one else was. This was and as if we needed further evidence of Funimation's rise in the middle of all this destruction. This was the year that ICV2 named Gen Fukunaga as the most powerful person in the industry.
Mm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. This was the year of Clamp at Anime Expo.
Oh yeah, that was a. Boy, the stories I heard about that, they were quite the divas. Well, I can't, because the people that were in charge of that still work at the respective places that brought them in, so I don't want to tell tales out of school. But from what I understand, they were a little bit of a headache, and AX didn't necessarily know how to handle them. You know, they weren't quite used to that level of, you know, the celebrity wish list and the green room and stuff like that.
Right, the rider.
Yeah, they were, stuff like that. So by all reasonable appearance, it went okay. But the behind-the-scenes story was not quite as rosy as it may have appeared. But, it went off without a hitch. I was at that event, and it was, here's a video of what our studios look like. And then they get up there, and some fan timidly approaches the microphone. What's your favorite kind of sandwich? And
God.
One of them answers, turkey, but I like all kinds of sandwiches. And you're just, ugh, kill me.
To this day, I still can't go to most open to the general public panels because it just drives me crazy. Just the questions people ask, mind-numbing.
Well, not only that, actually, you know what I misremembered there? People were not, the questions did not come from the audience, they came from cards, pre-screened questions.
So wait, that was a pre-screened question?
Yeah. Of course that's the one they would take.
Oh, please, my God.
Tell me, which do you prefer, fuzzy teddy bears or really fuzzy teddy bears?
Now, this is also a year that fan subs were getting a lot of the blame, whether warranted or not, for the decline of the industry. Now, as we've since learned, the industry has did plenty on its own to, hoist itself on its own petard.
Yes, but you cannot diminish the fact that fan subs were fucking out of control at this point. Like,
yeah, because nobody had done anything about them. They had just been completely... And, completely rampant. Well, if you're not using BitTorrent at this point, you're simply not a fan.
And at this point, the fans, the attitude among the fans... Now, you always shy away from blaming anything on the fan. But the fans at this point had started developing serious entitlement problems. They had started saying fuck you to the Japanese companies. I mean, literally, it was like, shut up and give me my free cartoons. That's where the fans had gotten to. It had become so selfish and so ridiculously entitled that the mob mentality was insane. So it was kind of a perfect storm.
Right. The reason I don't blame the fans is because you don't blame the individuals in a mob.
That doesn't make any sense. Bad
choice of words there. Is there a point in dissecting the individual when it's a mob? Or I would prefer to just think of the conditions that would cause that mindset and address those conditions. I just don't. I never saw the point in addressing the attitude, because the attitude is the result.
Okay, I get your point, but it created a culture. There was a culture that was surrounded around "fuck you, give me my free shit. I don't care if you're not making any money. I will figure out a way to justify it." I mean, this culture had, yes, it is the fault of the companies for allowing that culture to be created, mm-hmm. but when you have people who, it's clear they don't really believe the shit they're saying. It's just a justification. I mean, I'm not saying that they are to blame for all the problems, but I think it's valuable to at least say fan culture had become kind of toxic in terms of making anyone any money.
Oh, I don't deny that one bit. Absolutely. My whole point with all that is successful marketing is mass manipulation. If you are not mass manipulating people to want to buy your product, you are fucking up. Period.
Hey, Illumitune was in, was in business. They licensed Bobobo and Beat the Vandal Buster.
Beat X.
And, yep, Beat X. And
they were, AM Driver.
They were still in business.
Would be for the following 3 months or so.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, that's about that. You want to go ahead and get into the whatever came out that year?
Yeah, sure. This is just sad. These are all the shows that I remember coming out and them just kind of slowing to a trickle after this.
Yep.
We were getting Yumeria from ADV. We were getting Girls Bravo and Tokyo Underground and Gankutsuo from Genion.
Yeah, not a lot of blockbusters outside of Full Metal Alchemist, which is still coming out at this point.
Would you consider Gantz a blockbuster?
It did pretty well. Because there's lots of nudity and horrible violence. I don't think it was a blockbuster, but I think it sold pretty well for them.
We had Bandai had Planetus, which, despite being a great show, fell on its face utterly.
Funimation had Desert Punk, which I never got into, which I heard was funny, I guess? I don't know.
You would hate it. I saw one episode, and it would be your kryptonite.
Anime comedy is not my thing anyway.
Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, second gig. That was the big thing from Bandai.
I never saw how that sold. I have to assume it did okay.
Oh, yeah, it did. It did pretty well, although I think a lot of it came back as returns. So the cheap packs came out pretty fast and furious.
Yeah, same year, Fantastic Children, with its wonderful Odex dub. That was the year that people started using Odex.
Yeah, the desperation cost cutting move. Oh, this is also the year that for some reason ADV thought it would be a great idea to license Gatchaman.
Oh yeah, and they that shit never works out. Like,
no, you cannot release something made before 19. The cutoff for when an anime seems to attract U.S. fans at all seems to be Nausicaä.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, anything older than 1984, no one gives a shit. With, like, one exception, Macross.
Right. Jinnyon put out Kamichu, which I never saw, but I heard was really good.
It's very well animated, but a little too cutesy for me. I had to bail on it.
We did start seeing some...
ADV released Legend of Moby Dick.
I would love to hear the story behind that license. Why?
Here's another aborted release. Viz released Hikaru no Go in singles for a 76-episode show.
Now, you want to talk about a franchise that fucking disappeared. Because Hikaru no Go was the hot shit for, like, 2 years.
And I love that show.
Yeah,
I love that show.
I know so many people that love that show, but it is dead. Like, I don't even know people talk about that show anymore.
Well, it ended.
Yeah. Well, not only did it end, well, it ended, but people still talk about Inuyasha and shit, you know?
Right.
I mean, I understand that came back, but it didn't fade quite as quickly as because Hikaru no Go just fucking dropped off.
Yeah.
And I sort of blame it because they didn't, like, the entire last third of that show get rid of the gimmick entirely of the Bishonen that only Hikaru can see.
Well, I don't want to go into it because it's a massive spoiler.
The show's really old at this point. It's 4 or 5 years ago. Whatever.
Okay, let's... It ends up being about the loss of a loved one rather than Go. And I love that. It's a clearly a really personal statement, and it was incredibly moving, but I can see if you got into it for the board game, which I don't know who too many people who did.
I had a few friends that did and started playing Go as a result.
I tried.
And I never could get into Go because I'm stupid. Oh, big release this year. I'm getting punchy. I'm sorry. ADV released I think this was their biggest hit. It certainly was a cash cow for them and kept them going. Papua.
Really?
No.
Really?
Got it.
That's the joke you come up with? Just two sentences after you say, oh, I'm getting punchy.
Papua Volume 1 came out in August 2006. And sold to three people.
Oh my god, what a painful show that was.
Well, I don't even understand why they licensed that.
So, yeah, at the same time, we had a bizarre trickle of other things. Funimation was finishing up Full Metal. Funimation was trying to figure out if Case Closed would sell here. Answer, no.
Answer, no. People did, I mean, that show is enjoyable in the same way, like, Diagnosis Murder is enjoyable, I guess.
ADV started a short-lived kids division to release the Korean anime Michelle, which isn't a bad show, but it's really childish. It's really for little kids.
You know what? I don't even remember that at all. Like, I have no recollection of even what that is.
I licensed it for broadcast at Imagination before ADV got it, because my boss at Imagination didn't understand that anime is purely a Japanese thing and no one gives a shit about animation from India and Korea.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So he was like, well, Justin, you need to diversify and find animation from the rest of Asia because we're Pan-Asian. Like, no one gives a shit.
Well, there were a couple of hits this year. Bleach came out. That was the year of Bleach.
Oh, right. Viz started releasing Naruto in boxes.
Mm-hmm. That was a good move on their part, obviously, and sort of a no-brainer. Jinnyon came out with Love, Yueki. Helsing Ultimate obviously sold pretty well. So
they released Barefoot Gen on DVD, finally, with the first part, and I was really, really relieved that I was getting a second release, because the old Image release of that was so fucked up.
I've never seen Barefoot Gen. Is it worth seeing?
Yes, if you watch it with the mindset that it is no Miyazaki, or it is no Grave of the Fireflies. It's kind of poorly animated, and it looks like something that was made in the late 70s, even though it came out in 83.
Okay.
But it's also incredibly traumatic to watch.
Yeah, I'll put it off, and maybe I'll back-to-back it with Schindler's List or something.
Oh, my God.
Okay, best picture.
Plenty of alcohol to that party.
Oh, God. That would make things worse. Like, really drunk, sitting there watching a Holocaust movie. Okay, so 2006 Best Picture. 2006 Best Picture, The Departed. I liked it, but it was so obviously, whoops, we should have given you an Oscar for Goodfellas. So here's one for this movie.
I have to admit, I really like The Departed.
It's a good movie, but, I mean...
That was one of my first Blu-rays.
But Scorsese deserved the Best Picture Oscar for Goodfellas. That was his masterpiece.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Okay, moving on. 2007. Getting into very recent history here.
The crying becomes violent sobbing.
Yes, this is when things really went down the shitter. The shit definitely hit the fan. ADV, oh, this is a thing. ADV tried the American Anime Awards this year.
Oh, God.
At the New York... Hey, in their defense, it was fine. I was there for it. Weren't you there for it?
No, I was working at something else at that point.
It was a fine ceremony. It was nice to see these people who had worked. It was kind of like at the end of the bubble. Everyone's dying, going out of business, whatever. It was nice to see all these voice actors and producers and, you know, people who had worked in the industry for a very long time just get a little bit of recognition, a little time in the spotlight. And the ceremony went off just fine. I was a little irritated because this is when they tried to do that Girls of Anime thing where they had like a bunch of voice actresses and like lingerie on a poster.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm talking about. But the host, right. They had the host was Pierre from Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
Right.
He had the recliner of rage, and he's still on Tonight Show. But it was fine. You know, the ceremony was enjoyable. The after party was nice. I remember they had these really great martinis that had a little gummy bear at the bottom. Obvious that that's what I take away from that whole thing. But it was a lot of fun. And as much as, like, everybody expected it to be this huge debacle, this huge disaster, this big embarrassing... terrible thing. It was fine. And
yeah. It was just probably a lot of money down the toilet.
It was of course, it was just a huge money sink. Bamboo got interviewed in front of the red carpet backdrop for some Stars special on anime that they ran that year. But yeah, it was very easy to make fun of, and it was very easy to laugh at it and call it, say it was going to be a failure. But it turned out fine. I don't think it did anything for anybody. I think it served no purpose other than to make people feel good about themselves. But isn't that what award ceremonies are anyway? So
yeah.
There you go. So yeah, Year of the Anime Awards.
Yeah, this was a huge year of transition for me. This was the year I was just so disillusioned at Imagination. I quit and rejoined ANN, who was now big enough to support me.
Mm-hmm.
And my meager salary.
We were very happy to have you on.
I'm still happy to be back. I still to this day consider Chris having saved my life, because that would have ended in suicide. I mean,
happy holidays,
even
everyone.
After going back to ANN, it lasted a good 6 months, the depression after that.
Wow.
I put so much personal stock in that company. And when they just shat on it, I lost it. But before I left, I started this little great project of my own, and they pretty much let me do whatever I wanted at that company because, well, I was the only guy that knew how to work their master control. Started this little program called Anime Classics. Basically, what had happened is this guy Andy, who worked for TMS at the time, the Japanese studio. He worked for the U.S. office, and he saw the awesome branded block that we had done with Genion, which was really just a ploy for me to get free content. But, you know, it was Genion pimping their DVD releases. And he wanted to do something similar with TMS shows. And TMS had a catalog of really old stuff that wasn't available on DVD. And I thought, well, there's this company in Long Island that I had a meeting with that does, you know, burn and ship, burn on demand DVDs. This stuff isn't possibly going to sell more than a few hundred copies, but hey, free content. So I actually spent my first 3 months at ANN finishing up those DVDs for Imagination. Those DVDs turned into a gigantic disaster. Everyone lost money. The Burn and Ship place went out of business and took most of the revenue with it. No one ended up getting paid in the end, and they were in print for 4 months.
Okay, so what you're saying is the on-demand release system doesn't quite work.
Oh, it's retarded. I did the math afterwards. The price per unit is so high, it's like $3 plus a disc, that you would be better off, if you're only going to sell a few hundred copies, you'd be better off just replicating, paying the money up front, and throwing away half the inventory. It would actually save you money if you did that.
Big deal for Funimation that year was Afro Samurai.
And what a big deal.
Big deal for them. Which, of course, the joke about Afro Samurai is nobody in the anime space would ever get anywhere near Sam Jackson. We could get everyone else, but not Sam Jackson. In terms of, like, interviews and stuff like that. But, yeah, that was a big release for them, and it did very well. It continues to do very well for them, and that was one of those things where it seems like, okay, this is a smart thing to do. This is a smart right. thing to make. It's a smart thing to produce. This is what we need to see more of. It's a shame that it's not very good, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, this was also the year that fall. That's when I published the big open letter.
Oh, yeah. That was your big open. That generated so much fucking controversy and talk and got all the fans. I'm going to make my own manifesto. And yeah.
And all they did was really reference mine.
They just repeated what you said. Yeah.
And I behind the scenes, I got a lot of traction out of that. And I think, you know, not to brag, but I think that really got noticed in Japan.
Yeah, tell that story a little bit, because I don't know that, I mean, it's recent history, but I mean, I've kind of forgotten about that whole thing. So
okay, well, cover what basically, the whole column, in fact, I was online with you when I decided, it's just one of those things that suddenly you get struck by a bolt of lightning, you're like, I have to write this. And what got me really going was Arthur Smith, who I'm not even sure if Gonzo even has a foreign office anymore. Mm-hmm. But at the time, this guy, Arthur Smith, who was operating out of the UK, wrote this big screed, you know, how fan subs are destroying everything. And finally it hit me. I'm like, yeah, you know what? But that's your fault because you let it happen. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. Right. And so I decided to write this big manifesto. It's like, no, you let your product become worthless by not giving your consumers what they want and following the market.
Or protecting it at all.
Yeah. Or doing any protection or doing anything. And now, and this has been around for 10 years. Fan subs had been around by that point for like 15 years. If this was a recent event, I'd feel bad for you. Mm-hmm. But I don't.
Right.
You're a moron. So that kind of, you know, the best stuff you always write when you're angry, for me, at mm-hmm. least. Or fired up in some way.
Yeah.
And, you know, fired up, I finished that entire essay in like 3 hours.
Right. And it was posted hours after that, I think.
Yeah, I sent it right to you, and you're like, wow, this is great. Tweak this, and I'll post it. Mm-hmm. And I did. And, you know, within an hour, the forums were on fire. And that got blogged about a lot. And I believe Arthur Smith wrote some sort of really kind of couched in indefensiveness rebuttal. So as did the then president of Bandai Visual USA, who just kind of avoided most of my main points.
There was a lot of that, though. There was a lot of like, well, yes, but, and it was right. just sort of this half-assed rebuttal that was very like, it was clear that they just didn't want to have any balls about the subject.
But behind the scenes, I got a lot of credit. JETRO, the Japanese International Trade Organization, that was owned by the government, they forwarded it on to a number of people in the Japanese side of the industry. Thank God I had the presence of mind to ask Evan to come up with a Japanese translation for it. And I still get asked about it. Like a year later, I got a reporter from the Japanese edition of Variety calling me and interviewing me about it. But it's, I don't know if it contributed or helped in any way, and I'll never know, but if it did, if it helped just change one mind, that would mean a lot to me.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of a watershed thing. I mean, it was a big deal. 2007 was the year that my personal life fucking burned to the ground. So that year is a complete haze for me. I remember basically spending the entire year in the fetal position. But
I just remember seeing you at a con and going, wow, Zach's really dour.
I was a mess. And I'm not going to, obviously will not go into it, but no one could blame me for being a mess. Right. The thing about 2007, that was the year of Nymphette. That was the year that I basically said, ew, this is gross, about a comic. And it fucking blew up. Like, that was like saying, ew, this is gross, was like me throwing a grenade into a crowded room. I mean, I could never predict that that was what would happen. Insane. That was insane, the reaction to that.
And what ended up happening is, maybe as a result, but maybe not, the head of Seven Seeds, who's set to release it, took a sample version to the buyer from Borders and say, hey, would you guys stock this? And Borders went, looked at it and went, no. Fuck no. And as a result, Seven Seeds pulled it, and you got the blame for that.
I did get blamed for that, and it really had nothing to do with me. I think what happened was I just sort of called attention to the fact, hey, this is gross, and that was enough. Like, that was enough to push the domino, I guess. It was not that comic book getting canceled was not a direct result of me saying anything about it, but I won't deny that. No, you know what? That's not even true. I won't even cop to that. If I had said nothing, Border still would have said no. That comic spoke for itself, you know.
Yeah, well,
it was through no fault of mine did that shit get canceled, and I think it's for the best. I think that was a good move for Seven Seas. I'm glad that that happened. I don't think it would have helped them if it had come out here. But to this day, I cannot believe just the sheer amount of bullshit I went through as a result.
You had a bad year.
It was a bad year. It was a really bad year.
You had a really bad year.
It was a really bad year for me. But the site kept growing, and I'm pretty sure that... What?
I just remember you for, like... This was also around the time that you got really sick of writing Answer Man.
Yes. I had fucking had it with Answer Man. Well, I mean... All I did was take shit for it. You know, and people were responding, like, taking stuff I said out of context and just, hey, it was just a bad year. Like, the forums were crap, and my negativity, I was in a feedback loop at that point of negativity. Yeah. You know, I put it out there, and it came right back in my face. And it was just, 2007 was garbage. It is a year best forgotten for me. But on to happier things. Let's look at the releases for that year.
I thought you said happier things.
We almost forgot
the biggest story of 2007,
which was
Genion.
Yes, of course. Well, we did an entire show about Genion.
Well, we have nothing further to say. 2007. We have to say this is the year that Genion decided, you know, Genion to pull the plug spectacularly.
Genion went kaput. So that was the big deal that year.
You know, sky is falling, everyone's going to hell.
Yeah. This was the year that, like, the body hit the ground and then lit on fire. 2007 was basically shit. But on the plus side, Illumitune released Beat the Vandal Buster Volume 1.
Did they ever get past the Volume 1s of anything?
I think they got to Volume 2 on some stuff.
Wow.
I remember it got sent to Bamboo for shelf life. But other than that, it was that shitty origin movie, Spirits of the Past, the wannabe Gonzo, or the wannabe Ghibli, Human Crossing box set.
Oh, God. Death Rattles.
Yeah.
There's more thin packs, more re-releases.
Black Lagoon, that did okay.
Yeah, that was kind of Genion's last hit.
Oh, the big year was, the big thing this year was Haruhi Suzumiya.
Oh, right. Wow, that was big, although once it hit DVD, it ceased being as big.
Yeah, I don't know. That seemed like it was the biggest thing in the world for about 6 months.
And it was. I mean,
it was
the biggest thing in the world on fan subs.
Yeah, and then that didn't quite translate into sales.
No. Let's see.
Actually, out of curiosity, what did you think of Haruhi Suzumiya? Did you like it?
I loved it.
Loved it, huh.
Yeah, absolutely loved it. Second season was a disappointment for me, but I'm really looking forward to the movie.
Cool. That's cool.
You liked it too, didn't you?
I enjoyed it, but I was not happy with the fact that it was pretending to be satire. It wasn't actually satire. You can't just point out the fact that you're using pandering tropes and then just use them over and over again.
Right. Like, I'm told that was something specific to the anime, that the books could get away with satirizing moe because it wasn't showing moe.
Yeah, and it felt fake to me. Like, it didn't feel like, this isn't really satire. There's no real irony here. They're just saying, yeah, hey, we certainly are pandering. So,
but see, I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed how sarcastic it was with it. It was very just kind of like, the attitude that it had was something that I think was kind of new to anime.
Oh yeah, totally, and I did enjoy it for that. So it was, I mean, it certainly in no way was it a bad show. I did get something out of it. I just, you know me, I'm a comedy snob, and I want my my satire to be real satire.
Here's a disaster for you. Freedom.
Oh, the cup noodles. Really shitty cel-shaded Otomo thing. Man, I really didn't like that.
It's a terrible show.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible show. The this is also the time when the last fully original Ghost in the Shell came out, Solid State Society.
Yeah, and it was okay.
I remember Bandai saying at the time, like, this was really expensive to make, so please buy it. Yeah. And I remember just that hitting me at the time going, wow, that's really upfront for a Japanese company. That's not good.
Good show that came out that year, Welcome to the NHK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great show. I really enjoyed that. ADV was experimenting with the key visual art stuff.
Yeah, which ultimately wound up doing okay for them.
Yeah, it was one of their few bright spots in their recent catalog.
Okay, let's see here. Best Picture, No Country for Old Men.
Complete agreement.
I thought There Will Be Blood deserved to win that year.
We fought about that a bit.
And I tried to rewatch No Country, couldn't get through it.
Really?
Yeah, it's not that I don't like it. It doesn't grab me. I recognize that it absolutely deserved to win the Best Picture trophy. It is a quality film, has a lot of great things to say, but I guess I just don't find it as compelling as a lot of people did. I guess emotionally, it doesn't do anything for me.
I see. Yeah, it hit me pretty hard emotionally.
You tend to sympathize with old man characters.
I do. Tommy Lee Jones,
Carl and Up, Gran Torino. Mm-hmm. You like the old guys.
I am a cranky old man, what can I say? The one other thing we should point out, this is 2007 was also the first time that anime came out on Blu-ray that had Paprika and Tekkon Kinkreet. I have Paprika, and Tekkon Kinkreet can be used much like Kryptonite on Superman with me.
Right. Okay, almost done.
2008.
2008, we're at an hour, so we can make this pretty snappy. This is recent history, so it's the big thing in 08 was, I mean, I started climbing out of horrifying depression, so 2008 was a good year for me.
Yeah, that would do it.
That was the year I gave up Answer Man. I finally quit at the end of that year.
Yeah, that was a big thing for you.
It was a big deal, and it's a damn good thing I did.
I basically just kind of, we were on AIM constantly at that point. I just kind of getting the mental image of you just, dancing with the birds, like that scene from 500 Days of Summer. It's like that was your equivalent. It's like when you finally were rid of Answer Man.
God, I was so happy. I was so happy. And it led to this podcast. So there
right.
you go. There you go. That was sort of the big thing for me in 08. And
well, the first big thing that happened in 08 was all of these titles from ADV suddenly vanishing from their website, which they passed off as being nothing at first, but ended up being the death spiral.
That was sort of the first, like, oh, holy shit, things are really going down.
Yeah, and this was really frustrating for us because we knew what was happening, but we couldn't share it.
Yeah, that was one of those really annoying times where it's, we have this giant piece of information that if we let it out, like, we could potentially get sued or whatever, so.
Right.
It was, ugh.
It all eventually found its way out.
It did.
It just took a month or so.
But yeah, that was definitely the beginning of the end of the end of the end of ADV. So that was sort of the big thing. And in 2008, like, Okay, so the corpse has landed. It's on fire, but there's people with fire extinguishers standing over it.
Right, and it's kind of getting wheeled into a gurney, but at slow speed because everyone believes it's dead already.
Yeah, exactly. And 2008, I mean, really, like, 7, 8, 9, it's Funimation, the rise of Funimation as the major player. As the big, yeah. This is the company we're all going to be dealing with.
This is also around the time that I realized, hey, no one wants to watch Mario and Ellie.
Poor Mario and Ellie. Yes, the ill-fated ANN TV.
I tried so hard with that. We all worked our ass off. Poor Jonathan almost died with all the crap I made him haul.
Jonathan, our cameraman, yeah.
Yeah, we worked so hard. We rented out this studio space on near Herald Square in Manhattan. And it was rehearsal space, so there was no carpet or anything, so there was always an echo. And the Final Cut Pro, DV green screen never looked quite right. It always looked cheap, because it was. And it hit me all of a sudden, and like, wow, only a few thousand people are watching this. Oh, yes, that's because everyone read this news already in 30 seconds.
Yeah, a week ago, yeah.
Yes. So there was no way that show could have been topical. It was so much money to make it. That was costing us almost $500 an episode to make.
Good use of money. Thanks, Justin.
Hey, everyone thought it was a great idea at the time.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
No.
But at the same time, I mean, that led to our streaming video. Now we're just doing the streaming stuff.
So. Yeah, and I remember just talking to Chris and going, hey, what do you think about licensing anime to stream? And he goes, is that possible? Cut to today, we have 50 shows up from three different companies, and I just signed a fourth that I'll be announcing in a week or two.
What strikes me about that whole ANN TV thing is that it didn't work. Far be it from me to be arrogant about this sort of thing, but if it's not going to work on a site as visible as ours, it's really probably not going to work much of anywhere else. But I still see people like, here's my YouTube anime news show. And nobody watches it, and it's not very successful. I mean, it's just like creating a weekly podcast or a news delivery system that's basically like local news. It's just, it's not a good idea.
It's old. It's trying to fit a very 1980s way of conveying information into a 21st century format, and no one cares.
Yeah, it would be like Anime News Network announces a daily newspaper.
Right. Print edition.
Yeah, right. Printed. We'll show up on your doorstep.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I think this sort of content, news magazine-style fluff content, is the easiest thing to make because it requires almost no creativity at all. Mm-hmm. All you need is someone who looks decent to stand in front of the camera and read off a prompter. As a result, everyone thinks they can do it and everyone thinks they're going to get rich doing it. And so you see this like in almost every nerd anything. Like there's a ton of how many video game news magazines are there on YouTube?
Plenty.
Exactly. And, you know, I've seen a few other people try to do it with anime. And even after I've mothballed ANN TV, I'm still getting pitches from people producing their own, thinking it's going to be huge. No, it will never be huge. This is that medium is over.
Yeah. Dead as nails. Peak was out that year, the magazine Peak.
For all of what, two issues?
Two, three issues. Yeah, I think they got two or three issues out. Their last issue had Wally on the cover.
For information on what happened to New Type USA, please see the podcast where we interview Chris Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. We're getting into material where it's like, just listen to an old show.
Right.
Let's go on to the releases. Mm-hmm. 2008, Canone, otherwise known as Canon, came out.
Funimation's re-releases. Bunch of sub-only stuff. This is the year that sub-only really took off.
Really started, yeah. Definitely.
Bunch of cheap, quick box sets from ADV all of a sudden to just push this shit out before the Sojitz deal explodes.
Quick, get it out there. Yeah, and then Funimation started doing the part one, part two, and then complete. And the complete box set would come out like a month after part two.
I noticed they've stopped doing the completes.
They still do the completes, but only for older stuff.
Yeah, that's probably smart.
Yeah, it's only for the older stuff, and you know, something that's not isn't one of their recent licenses. But the
I should also say 2008 was the year that Funimation finally learned how to make a decent DVD.
Yeah, explain that a little bit.
Okay, for years, Funimation, I don't know what they were doing with their encoding, but part of it was they always insisted on doing alternate angles for the Japanese and English opening and ending sequences. Mm-hmm. You know, for the credits, they'd carefully Photoshop the credits and everything. And as a result, they never had well-made DVDs. Their discs always looked like ass, no matter how new the material was, no matter how pristine the masters were. At one point, I was playing with the idea of writing a really snarky article, and Chris axed this idea, and thank God.
Smartly.
I was going to prove that with nothing but open source software and a copy of the Japanese DVD, I could make a better DVD, better looking DVD than Funimation.
Oh my God, you would have come across like such an asshole if you had actually run that article.
Oh, Chris would have fired me, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But they finally, Funimation finally hired some new compression and DVD people, and now their discs look as good as anybody could possibly make.
Yeah, so they look fine now. A couple of big releases. They put out started putting out One Piece, 2008.
Right, that was the year One Piece got license rescued. Mm-hmm. That was the year Funimation just basically just put on a cape.
Yep, pretty much, and rescued everything. Gurren Lagann came out.
Right.
Bandai's weird ass, let's release it subbed and then dubbed, and neither of them sold very well.
Yeah, that and it caused huge amounts of confusion, both with consumers and retailers.
Yeah.
Like, no one knew if this was the sub-only release or the dub release. Or no one knew, and no one could tell from looking at it. It was just a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Gurren Lagann, and I didn't get any freebies from Bandai on that one, so I was thinking about buying it, and I went to the store, and I couldn't really tell which one was which, and I'm like, oh, fuck this.
I tried really hard. I couldn't get into it.
Eh, it's just fun. Batman, yeah, I don't like fun. That Batman Gotham Knight came out, which right. I didn't like, but I'm happy that Warner continues to experiment with that kind of thing. You know, the more of those they do, it only helps.
And then you had this period for a few months where ADV was just barely holding on, and they were just re-releasing stuff like Ninja Resurrection.
Which sold purely because people thought it was a sequel to Ninja Scroll, even though it has nothing to do with Ninja Scroll.
Yeah, like, 1997.
The cover had, like, featuring Jubei from Ninja Scroll. It's like, it's not even the same guy, like Ninja Resurrection. Probably the biggest release of the year, Papua Complete Collection. Okay, I'll stop. I'm sorry.
Oh, we almost forgot a what was that company? Anime something or other? They released Joe versus Joe.
Oh, that was very short-lived.
Yeah, it was an offshoot of Adult Source Media.
Right.
Who had been releasing hentai for years, and they decided to try their hand at regular anime, and A, picked a show no one wanted and was pretty crappy, and then B, the absolute worst time to get into the anime DVD business. Mm-hmm. And, well, that sold like peanuts, and they're like, you know what, fuck this, porno time.
Pretty much. Live-action Speed Racer came out that year. Which was a bomb, and probably mm-hmm. turned a lot of. It probably had a lot of studios tossing script treatments for anime adaptations in the garbage, as a result.
Hey, you know what? They still made it the final stretch with Dragon Ball Z.
They did. That's 2009, though. That's this year.
Yeah. I will say. The coolest part about 2008 for me is that's when I finally got to go to Japan.
Oh yeah, that was your first trip.
It took me 10, 15 years to finally get to go. And for the longest time, it was a joke between Robin and myself that everyone who could possibly deserve to go to Japan less than me would get to go before me.
Okay, so 2008 Best Picture, Slumdog Millionaire.
Bullshit. Fucking bullshit.
Bullshit. I didn't even like that movie.
I thought it was amusing, but I'd never watch it again, and I forgot about it as soon as I left the theater.
The best movie of 2008, in my opinion, didn't even get a Best Picture nomination. It was The Wrestler.
I liked The Wrestler quite a bit.
Easily, like that or WALL-E, you know? One of those two I would rather have seen. I mean, didn't even get nominated. I mean, the other shit that was nominated was the fucking Frost Nixon and The Reader, Benjamin Button, which I like Benjamin Button, but it didn't.
After 07, I got to say 08 was a shitty year for movies.
Oh, it was a shitty year. It really was. Okay, so this year, we're not going to go into too much detail here, but the big things this year were, you know, Dragon Ball Evolution. And
it's stinking up the place.
I finally got to go to Japan, and you can read all about it on the site. I had those blogs, which...
You had a good time, right?
I had a great time. That's
looking forward to this year?
It was the highlight of my year, and I am really looking forward to next year. I think it's going to be... We had so much fun. I mean, there was a lot of tension. It was a lot of work. But we had so much fun on that trip.
But this year's... We had the new Evangelions coming out.
Yeah.
Which made me happy.
That's true. And in 09, I think it was an... Definitely, I feel more optimistic. I mean, we are starting to see, like...
A turnaround.
Yeah, the industry doesn't feel... Like, the corpse is now in the hospital.
Right.
And it's not a corpse.
It's getting plasma.
It's in a coma, but... It's, you know, it's on course for recovery in some state. It's never going to be like it was.
We never think that it will look like a real pretty person again.
Yeah.
It'll always have some severe scarring and maybe need some reconstructive surgery.
Yeah, it'll always be a little ugly. But, yeah, so that's, I think things are finally starting to come around. You know, we saw the advent of streaming and, you know, Hulu and Crunchyroll and all that.
Crunchyroll really came into their own this year. Yeah, now, if only they can make money.
With the simulcast. If they can figure out a way to start making money, perfect. That would be wonderful. And then, you know, so for the big releases this year, it was a lot of streaming stuff. You know, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, Evangelion, that's kind of it.
Yeah, not a whole lot this year. Oron finally got a release.
We're starting to see some real... Yeah, Oron finally came out, and we're starting to see some real... Blu-ray stuff come out, a lot of complete box sets. You know, Samurai Champloo just came out, and you know, it's good stuff. So, yeah, things are looking better. I don't think we're on the chopping block anymore.
You know, it's one of those things. Like after last fall, when the rest of the country basically did what the anime industry did last year or the year before, around fall when you know the economy went to hell and. We almost lost the entire financial industry.
Yeah.
Like, the entire capitalist system almost ended.
Right.
And I don't think people really realize how close to the brink Western civilization came for a little while there.
Yeah.
It's hard not to be optimistic after that.
Yeah, things... It feels like the sun's on the horizon at least a little bit. So things are looking up. So since we obviously don't know what is going to win Best Picture this year, do you have a favorite one or two films from 2009?
Well, most of the good stuff is just coming out now, really. I really like Fantastic Mr. Fox. That's honestly a front runner for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Nothing else has charmed me quite as much this year. But then I'm literally going to see a movie in an hour, so.
Yeah. For me, unless What's It Up in the Air is really phenomenal, for me, it's Inglourious Basterds, probably my favorite of the year.
I enjoyed it. I wouldn't call it a favorite.
Yeah, I just love Tarantino simmering in his Tarantino-ness. Fantastic Mr. Fox and 500 Days of Summer.
That was great. That was great. That and Fantastic Mr. Fox might be my two.
Which, those are very lightweight movies. So obviously, we're not quite 2007. But the fact that such mainstream fare and not obvious Oscar stuff is our favorite this late in the game. I mean, we're at the end of the year here.
And we've both seen Avatar.
And we have both seen Avatar, which both of us liked, conditionally.
Yeah. We loved the experience, and we wish the screenplay was better.
Yeah.
A lot better.
A lot better, but it is what it is, and I will cop to definitely wanting to see it again before it leaves the 3D theaters.
Hey, you know, I liked Ferngully when I was a kid. I missed having the Robin Williams bat rapping to me.
Right, exactly. Okay, before we go, and we're finally fucking done with this.
Oh my god, we've been talking about fucking anime for 4 hours.
We have. Before we go, this needs to be said. Justin, you get a lot of credit for founding the site, but the person who made the site what it is today is Christopher McDonald, our boss.
Yeah, when he took up the site, it was a shambles.
He made it what it is. He hired both of us. You know, he brought us back to the site.
He still works incredibly long hours doing incredibly tedious, horrible things like accounting.
He works harder than any of us, and it is... I mean, I don't want to kiss my boss's ass too much on this podcast, but people don't give him enough credit, and he purposefully stays out of the spotlight. But I just wanted to pull him in for a minute here and just say, Anime News Network would not be what it is today without him. And
Anime News Network probably wouldn't exist without him.
Absolutely.
Be honest here.
End of the year shout out to the boss man. You know, we all appreciate you. So that's it.
And the only proper response to that, Chris, is raises all around.
Yeah. Or at least buy the next round of drinks when we see you.
And okay. No, I will not drink that Bailey's crap.
Or Smirnoff Ice, yes. Okay, so that is it. Thank you for listening. If you have actually made it this far through this entire 10 years of bullshitting.
You're a better man than I. I guarantee you I won't listen to this whole thing.
Yeah, neither will I. Well, I have to edit it, which I will probably do very sloppily.
I don't blame you.
So that's it. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Ancast over the last couple of months. We're going to keep doing it every week. This will keep going as long as you keep listening. So my personal thanks to all of our listeners, and we will see you in 2010.
Have a good one.